So my name's Elle. I am Marie's mini me, and today I'm in a coffee chat with Steve Saylor, also known as the Blind Gamer. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm so excited to talk to you today and talk all about disabilities and pop culture and what you do because you do some really cool things. Can you kind of tell people a little bit about yourself?
I'm Steve Saylor, commonly known as the Blind Gamer, or at least that's what my YouTube channel says. I'm an accessibility advocate and consultant within the video game industry. So basically what that means is that I advocate for more accessibility in video games online, but then also I consult with studios on how to be able to make their games more accessible for disabled players. I've worked on a few games. Some would, if you're not sure what these games are, I apologize, but essentially the ones I've worked on are Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Watch Dogs Legion from Ubisoft, and I've worked on Sony's and Naughty Dog's The Last of Us Part Two.
I've loved gaming for a really long time, and it's so cool to meet the person behind making them more accessible. So, have you played video games your whole life?
Yeah, kind of mostly off and on because growing up, I mean, I was of the Nintendo generation. So I remember my first console as a kid was the original Nintendo, and I played along a lot with my brother. But I found that I kind of felt like I sucked at games. Knew there was some sort of aspect because I couldn't really see that well that there was something there that would have done it, but I didn't understand sort of why or how that was affecting sort of the way I play games. Growing up essentially as a kid and as a teenager and even into my adulthood, I still enjoyed games, but it just progressively got harder and harder for me to be able to play. There was a period of a few years where I actually like sold all my consoles altogether and just didn't have any play any video games anymore. It was literally in the middle of a talk that I was supposed to be talking about accessibility in games, and I didn't really understood what that meant. But in the middle of it, I kind of had an epiphany that I realized, oh yeah, I've been telling myself I sucked at games for years, but in reality, it was that games sucked for me. And that's when essentially that light bulb moment in my head, I was like, oh okay, now I understand sort of what I was sort of. What my purpose is in trying to be able to make games suck less for people with disabilities.
So what does accessibility in gaming look like?
Essentially, what that does is it allows players with disabilities, whether you are blind, deaf, or hard of hearing, or have a motor disability, there are options, or the game is built around the fact that it will allow those players to be able to play, whether it's being able to play with one hand, or with simple controls, or with subtitles, or menu narration, stuff like that allows those disabled players that want to be able to play those games, allow them to be able to play and kind of remove some of the barriers that they normally would have to face when they're trying to be able to play a video game. And essentially, accessibility kind of helps remove those barriers so they can still enjoy the challenge of a video game, but not necessarily have their disabilities get in the way.
When do you think that it first started that gaming companies and other gamers started to really consider accessibility as something that was important to include when creating the games? How do you think that's evolved?
Technically, there was a game back in the 1950s that actually kind of sort of had the first signs of accessibility. It was sort of like a tic-tac-toe kind of game, but it sort of would change the difficulty a little bit. And that was sort of the first like actual accessibility option. But
Oh,
it wasn't
wow.
until really like around 2010 that the conversation around accessibility in video games really started to kind of take shape. And it took a really long time since then. Like it was a slow build of momentum until essentially, I would say probably around in between like 2016 and 2018, that's when not only developers started to be able to take notice about accessibility and wanting to be able to add them into their games, but sort of the general gaming public started to at least hear about accessibility. They may not understood what it meant, but they at least heard about it and they started to see it pop up in games. But it like yeah, it really wasn't until essentially last year in 2020 where a lot more of the gaming public essentially got to know a lot about accessibility, and that was through the release of The Last of Us Part Two.
I'm a huge fan of The Last of Us, and you see these gaming companies and in general people taking accessibility into account, and it's really cool to see the general population acknowledging it as well. How do you interact with people who are able-bodied and don't have those issues? Like, do they seem to engage in conversation with you about it? Are they interested in it? Do you see any people advocating for it outside of the disabled community? Or do you think it's more the disabled subculture that's focusing on making things more accessible?
That's a good question. I will say that before last year, it was definitely mostly focused within the disabled community of wanting to be able to push for more accessibility in games. And it was starting to kind of get to that point. But now we're definitely starting to see more more people without disabilities essentially being able to talk about it, or at least be an ally for the cause of accessibility in video games. And the way I kind of say it is that technically accessibility is really for everyone, because at some point in our lives, whether you have an injury or there's certain incidents or circumstances in your life, there is going to be some need for some accessibility. Really, just that's kind of where the point that we're trying to be able to bring up, at least to people who don't have a disability, that yes, accessibility helps the disabled community immensely, but it also helps everyone else too. And we need to be able to kind of push for more understanding of it and why it's important. I'm really excited to be able to kind of see just sort of how that can be able to progress within the next few years in the industry, whether it's just for on the dev side or just sort of general public knowledge about accessibility. Like I said, yeah, it benefits everyone in the long run.
That's such an important take and something I don't think we often think about. And I think people always see like accessibility as this thing. It's like, oh, like accessible door buttons and like just reasonable accommodations, when in reality, it's making the world usable for everyone. Did you grow up knowing of any gamers that you looked up to, or just people in general who were fighting for accessibility that inspired you to be a part of that?
I will say that actually that it wasn't until I kind of really started to understand and get to know accessibility that's when I started to kind of see people involved with it, because before I just sort of thought, I'm just a blind gamer that's basically like that's it, and I love playing video games, but there's not much more I can do. There wasn't really anybody I kind of could see growing up that had a similar condition as me that could be able to play video games, because mostly it was my friends who didn't have a disability that could play them, and I couldn't. There was definitely a few once I started to get into it that I started to kind of like look up to. There's Ian Hamilton. He's been an accessibility advocate for a long time. He started off with the BBC and then kind of moved over to the video game side and started to kind of really advocate for that. There's Cherry Thompson, who's a mentor of mine. They are the accessibility project manager over at Ubisoft, as well as their counterpart, David Tisserand, who I look up to, Karen Stevens, who's the accessibility lead at Electronic Arts. There definitely are some people that are like superstars within the accessibility community that when I started, I kind of look up to. Then I started to kind of discover more people like Steven Spawn at Able Gamers and people over at Special Effect, which is another charity for basically help, then those they help other disabled players be able to play video games. And so, and people like canIplaythat.com, who reviews video games from an accessibility angle, like there're just a lot of really amazing people in the community that are pushing forward for more accessibility. And essentially it's gotten to a point now where I think like our voices are starting to be heard, and they're being heard louder.
Yeah, and you're a part of that movement. I haven't met a lot of gamers who are like you. You have a very unique take, and I so resonate with everything you say. You know, growing up, you know, the person in the friend group who had the disability, and I just grew up thinking, oh, like you're gonna either be on ODSP, which in Ontario is our disability support program, and I'm never going to be able to work a real job. And it's, I hope that, you know, the younger generation is seeing people like you and are pushed to pursue the things that, you know, are pursuable. Do people ever like talk to you and they're like, blind gamer, how does that work? And like, what is your response to that? Like, what are some of the reactions you get to what you do?
Yeah, I will admit yeah, there's definitely a lot of times where I'll get people that do have no idea who I am, and they're like, blind gaming, how does that work? And they tried to like give me the definition of video games, that it's a visual medium, so how can a blind person actually play video games? And I generally have to sort of go into sort of education mode, and I'll explain that essentially, like, blindness is more of a spectrum than it is an on-off switch, and that's a lot for, like, the same for a lot of disabilities. You can basically have two people that have the same disability but have two completely different experiences and different sort of things that they can and can't do. And so what I'm hoping is at least people will understand is that, yeah, disability is a spectrum than just a kind of you have it or you don't. Because there was a study that was done, I think, by the CNIB, Canadian National Institute for the Blind, years ago, I remember, where they said that nine out of 10 people who are blind actually do have some vision. It's very rare that someone will be able to have like completely sightless. So yeah, I get that all the time. And it's weird to sort of think of myself as sort of like a superstar. I mean, it like, honestly, a lot of what I do, I understand is sort of like, I'm helping other people to be able to play video games, but in a small way, selfishly, it's mostly what, like, it's because I want to be able to play these games. Because I'm like, this is what I love to do. I want to be able to play more video games. And the more I push for it, the more that those accessibility options can be created for me. And the bonus is that, like, it can help everybody else. For disabled players, even growing up as a kid who was disabled, I felt kind of like I was left out on the fun because I couldn't play the game that they were all talking about. So in a way, that's what I hope that these games that'll have the accessibility options in there will allow those kids to be able to feel like they're not left out anymore.
I love that. Yeah, I always find it funny because whenever I'm doing advocacy work, they're like, oh, like, it's so nice that you're doing all this work for the disabled community. I'm like, honey, I'm doing it for myself.
And I think everyone who gets in that space is like, that's the initial, like, screw it, I'm just going to do it myself. Like, I got to do this now. And that's kind of, in a way, that's how, like, how I sort of started it too.
I think so often people with disabilities are told no, whether it's literally or figuratively in our experiences. And it's really cool to see people empowered to be like, actually, yes.
Yep, for sure.
I wanted to ask you where you think gaming is headed. What does the future of gaming look like?
Yeah, so it's interesting because, like, as far as like the future, like, I definitely see that video games is just going to continue to climb. It is the most profitable medium, including like in entertainment, including movies and TV shows and comics. Like, video games last year during the pandemic was the only industry that actually made money and made more money than previous years. Like, it actually made a much larger profit because of the pandemic, and everyone was at home, and they were like, what do I do? Well, let's play video games. And we're now seeing more people joining into the community and getting into video games than ever before. So I can only see this it just continue to rise and continue to grow to the point where basically there's going to be, like, when you say you're a gamer, everyone's going to understand what that means. And it's not necessarily the dude in their mom's basement. Everyone who plays a video game is a gamer, regardless of kind of what platform or what device or what kind of games you play. I can only see that growing. And as far as accessibility in games, I think with so we talked on about The Last of Us Part 2, and and essentially what that game had was over 60 plus accessibility options, which was the most we'd ever seen in any video game to this date. And what that showed not only the development community, but also the gaming community, that not only is accessibility possible, but then also that it's profitable. That was something that was kind of always difficult to sort of like tell developers, was that accessibility is not only a good thing to do, but can also make you money. And that's something that the higher ups essentially had a hard time kind of understanding. It's like, okay, well, why are we focusing so much attention on this for a small subset of players? But now we can actually have, there's an example that people can be able to see. Like, I know that's sort of like a very capitalist way of thinking about accessibility, but some people in the industry kind of think of it in that way. So within like 5 to 10 years from now, we'll start to finally, like, we'll actually see the impact of what The Last of Us did. For those who may not know, game development takes a long time. Like, it takes like several years in order from the beginning of a project to when the game is actually released. In fact, it's going to take a little bit for more games to come out with as much or if not better accessibility. That's what I'm really looking forward to as far as the future of that is that, yeah, 5-10 years from now, I'm hoping that when I do reviews of video games for accessibility, that I'll be able to sort of nitpick what is there than just like complaining essentially the fact that why doesn't this game have some accessibility in it?
I love that. I love that you're so hopeful about it. And I'm glad that, you know, these groups have people like you to consult with because it's important to consult with the actual people who are playing the game. And I think also like people with disabilities will play more games now if they have the option to, and like, that would be awesome. That would be a whole new market. It's really, really exciting to see. And I'm so looking forward to that future.
Yeah, me too. And that's one thing that I definitely want to, a point I wanted to definitely make as well is that, okay, so the wave is kind of like, has sort of ended with regards to how great the accessibility was for The Last of Us 2. So now people have played it and there are a lot of people with disabilities are like, okay, now what? That's why we need to kind of keep pushing for more of that and for more, like the more people can be able to talk about it and include the accessibility as part of the coverage of video games or in reviews of video games, or at least just talking about it in general, the more that that studios will be able to see the positive side of it and that it's what gamers want and they will internally push to be able to have more of it within the games that they create. So The Last of Us 2 wasn't the end of accessibility. It was the end of the beginning. Yeah. We're only just getting started, and the momentum is now got to the point where it's like the train's moving. All of us has to hop on and catch up.
I guess on that note, I want to ask you one final question: is what would you say to a young person, you know, maybe struggling with a similar thing to you or experiencing a similar life situation or even just having a disability and feeling limited? What would you say to them to encourage them to pursue their passions? Like, how do they engage in that conversation?
I think for those that are just kind of like, they're frustrated about there's games that they're not able to play, especially ones that like their friends are playing. I think is to advocate for it. Find other people like yourself that are online that are having the same trouble that you have, and maybe they have some ideas of games to play or games to try. Because that's a great thing about gaming is that there's hundreds of games that are being released every year, from the AAA like large kind of production type games to the small indies. The more you can be able to find like people that are like yourselves, the more it kind of feels like that you are. At least that you're not alone. And that's the thing is I don't feel like you, is I hope that you don't feel like you're alone in this. If you want to be able to advocate for more accessibility in video games, talk about it on social media, talk about it amongst your friends. And just basically just try to be able to, learn from other people, either like myself or, people, can I play that? Basically don't give up. You're not alone.
I love that. Where can people find you? Shout out whatever you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm, if you want to be able to find me, I'm on Twitter, at Steve Saylor. I'm also, on YouTube, youtube.com/snowball. And then I'm a partner on Twitch as well. So you can find me streaming, all types of video games and talking about accessibility, at twitch.tv/blindgamersteve.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful that we got to enter into conversation today. And I hope that you taught some people some interesting things about the gaming world and accessibility.
Aw, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope we'll be able to see more people talking about accessibility.